Hey everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the Shane Walsh podcast. So today's episode is a Q&A with my clients in the female fat loss group, and then also with the one-to-one clients, and it's the second one of the series that is going to happen. And we've got some cool guests kind of coming up in the next few weeks with Dan Morgan, Jamie Wright's going to be doing a two double header, and Kaylee will be coming on again to have a chat with everyone as well. So today's episode is one on I think it's really, really important to understand why we spoke about this in particular. It's in relation to why most people's definition of success of fat loss is wrong. It's a topic that I'm passionate about. It's something that I think a lot of people will hopefully resonate to. For this episode, I have cut out the questions at the very end for the episode, because some people came on camera and shared quite personal stories, and I don't feel that it would be fair to bring them up onto air. So hopefully you can appreciate that. So it's a little bit of a shorter episode than normal, but I really do hope you enjoy today's episode. So before I go into today's episode, I just want to give you a quick little update that there is a free resource on how to lose weight without tracking calories. It's a free ebook. It's 9 pages. It's been created by myself, and it's a really useful step-by-step approach on how to do that. MyFitnessPal is a great tool. Those apps are a great tool in the right hands. A hammer is a great tool in the right hands, but you wouldn't give it to a child. Now, counting calories is an amazing tool, but not everyone should be doing it. If it's a whole point that you don't count on weekends, maybe it's a point that you don't count when you've gone over your calories, or you don't count when maybe you've snacked a little bit more, that's a sign that MyFitnessPal isn't the right tool for you, and you probably need to learn how to do it without it. There's a reason why 85% of my one-to-one clients, whose photos you can see up on my social media and the transformations that they've had from mental health, relationship with food, the transformation photos that they have, that's because they've learned how to eat for themselves. So this could be the most important ebook that you've ever downloaded. So if you're looking for a free resource, click on the link in the show notes, download your free copy, and I hope that you enjoy it. Hey everyone, so what we are going to talk about is something that an awful lot of us, I've been there, I'm sure Alyssa has been there, with when we try to go on fat loss journeys, that we tend to go a certain method that might not be the greatest method. And I can see whenever we kind of start out, it may seem like it's the best thing ever to try and do it, but it's rarely the outcome that we would need to try and do it. So I'm going to get you to do a little bit of an exercise right now. So I'm going to need you all to type in, so there's enough people here to make this exercise useful. So the first thing I want you to do right now is write in the comments box what your definition of successful fat loss is. So I want you to write that answer and write in what you think, and I'll read out some of them. And I know on the next slide, I'll probably have the answers before you get them. So type in what you think. Alyssa, I'm going to block you in a second. okay, so let's see how this goes. Whoever's listening to this podcast are kind of like, this is boring. okay, so we've got slimmer tummy, belly button area. We've got feeling confident. Okay, we've got being more comfortable in my own body. We've got feeling better in my clothes, being healthier, easier to be active, feeling happy. Feeling happy and pics with my kids. I love that one. Clothes feeling better, living life without impacting my mental health. I love that, Brona. Feeling comfortable in yourself, clothes feeling better. Less fat, but doesn't mean less weight on the scales. Fitting into clothes and feeling fit. And what are some of the words that you associate with fat loss in general? Like when you think of weight loss and diets that you've done previously, what are some of the words that come to your head as well?
Mm-hmm.
Queen Liz has Queen the answer. Liz. slow and steady for long-term results, feeling better and fitting into clothes. Yeah,
So all these things are really, really important. And they can hear there's a common theme kind of coming through of not one of you had mentioned the weight. I think that's really, really important. Not one of you had mentioned a number on a scales. I don't know if it's because you thought I was going to react, which is a high possibility, or if it's how you want to feel. Because I think what I've found in particular is when people get to their goals from working with myself and Alyssa, it's normally a feeling that they have. It's not a number that they get. It's a feeling that they have. So the things that you've said about the old methods that you've come from, they're cutting things out, they're restriction, they're losing weight as quickly as possible. And other words that will come out will be misery. So if you think about the old restrictive methods that you've done previously, they've all involved some sort of mass restriction. That's essentially what a lot of people think fat loss is and weight loss is. But as you've all said there, successful fat loss for you right now is a feeling of how you feel in your clothes, a confidence feeling, a feeling of being able to get into photos with your kids or your family, whatever it may be. And I think that's important to realize and kind of keep reiterating to yourself, because the scales won't always go down. But that feeling that you have, when you have that, it's really, really important. For me, it's always losing inches, toning up, feeling good, looking good in clothes, belly coming down in centimeters or inches, never about scales, although it was years ago. And I think when you're in that kind of environment or that non-conducive environment, like the certain clubs, high five if you're down, tut tut if you're up, those kind of environments, that's reinforced. And I think, Alyssa, you had a conversation with one of the clients earlier on. Text message that you sent me before we came on.
Yeah, no, there was just a bit of a startling comment from a lady's friend. She was like explaining the diet that she was on to one of the SWF girls. And she was like explaining how restrictive it is. And it just sounded horrific from the sounds of things, like horrible. Whereas what we're doing is complete opposite. It's like I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's just that it's black and white, the difference.
Yeah, and I think the big thing, Alyssa's underselling herself on this, on the text message. I'm not going to read the text message fully, but it was basically that she was very grateful for the approach that she was being taught by Alyssa, rather than the restrictive approach that person was just basically being shoved down her throat. Life is tough enough. You don't need us to restrict things. Life is tough enough. You don't need us to make it more difficult for you. That's why we'll never tell you what to eat. That's why I'm always reluctant to send those pictures of my food into the group for those meals, because some people can take that as, oh, Shane eats that, so that's why he does this. Or some person eats that, so that's why they look like that. It's not the case. Food needs context.
Mm.
Like, people will look at someone eating a pizza and they'll be like, oh, they look like that because they had the pizza. No, it isn't the pizza. It's not the slice of pizza. It's not the couples of pizza that people have that puts them in a position. Obesity, weight loss, fat loss is a lot more context is needed. And that's why I'm always reluctant to put those meals in. So we need to look at, when people are talking about fat loss, some of the things they can talk about is restriction. But why doesn't everyone keep the weight off when they try to lose weight? Why is it easier for some people rather than, you may have someone who looks at a brownie and puts on weight, but you may have someone who struggles with their weight for a very long time for various different reasons. But it can almost feel like it's our fault for that. And that's when Jamie Wright is coming on for the next kind of 2 weeks to talk about that binge eating and that perpetuating that overeating cycle of why that happens when you eat something that you feel you shouldn't have. Why then you go into that shame spiral and that language that you use. But why is it easier for some people? Because often the definition of what people think weight loss and successful weight loss is misery. People think that weight loss and losing the weight and seeing that scales go down is the easy part. But if we think of all the restrictive methods that we've ever done, we've never really kept the weight off. But it's not a you issue. It's not an ability issue. If I cut my arm off right now, sure, the scales will go down, but it wouldn't be too bright an idea. But that's what most people will do when they start dieting. And then they'll be reactive. The scale hasn't gone down this week, so I'm going to cut my calories even further. I'm going to take out this food group. I'm going to take out this food group. I'm going to take out chocolate, even though I like it. I'm going to take out carbs, even though I like them. And I'm a much nicer person with them, even though they give me energy for my training, even though they make me less irritable. Well, most people, when they try to diet, if you look at every diet that's under the sun, it involves more often than not a food group being taken back out. Of course, you're going to lose weight if you take something out. If I chopped off my arm, I'd lose weight. Doesn't mean it's going to be the most optimal weight to live. But if we look at it from a point of view of changing the definition, it gets a hell of a lot easier for you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you to ask these four big questions on the previous attempts that you have done and the old attempts that you've done previously. Number one, could you stick to your approach for longer than a week? More often than not, Wednesday hits. I think it's like 60% of people give up on a Wednesday if they think they start on Monday. I think it's something like that. I think if people start a New Year's resolution on January 1st, they are generally gone by Valentine's Day. 80% are gone by Valentine's. And if not earlier.
It sounds really strong.
Yeah, I think it's 80% are gone. Or it might be earlier. There is some date in the calendar somewhere, like giving up your diet day or something like that. I can't remember what date that is, but Valentine's in my head is somewhere. Then the second question is, does this approach impact on your relationship with food? And I think this is a really, really important one that a lot of people forget about. A lot of people will try to lose fat loss or try to lose weight or trying to lose fat on a foundation of matchsticks. So if you look at when you try to build a house or buy a house, what's one of the most important things? And you get a surveyor in and you look at the foundations and they look at, are they strong? But people are so emotionally attached to a scales or how they want to look and how they want to feel. They forget about that perspective piece of like, right, what's actually going to work for me? Is it going to be having a really poor relationship with food? Is it going to be using words like good or bad? Is it going to be using words like I'm a yo-yo dieter or I'm an emotional eater? Is it going to be things saying food is a reward? You're not a dog. Stop rewarding yourself with food. Is it guilt and shame around food? Is it labels on food? Like only eating things that are have skinny before them or high protein before them or low fat before them. Slim bagels or skinny bagels. Are there languages that you're using around food? Though if there's labels and you're not calling the food a food or a treat or whatever it may be, that's a sign of like maybe a not a healthy relationship with food. And that's thanks to diet culture. That's thanks to approaches that you've done before or language or people who you hang around with. The third question is, does this approach impact your relationship with food? That's repeated. The fourth one is, does it involve changing yourself out of hate? I think too many people, when they try to lose weight, because it's that uncomfortable feeling that we have, that like, I will do anything possible to maybe lose the weight off my stomach or my arms or my belly, but it doesn't matter if it comes at a cost. It doesn't matter what cost it comes at, but I hate this part of my body. But yet that body might have given you your family. So it's sometimes that perspective piece of, well, if we didn't have maybe the stomach that we have right now, we may not have our kids. We might not have our family. So it's kind of weighing up the language that you're using. I've never seen anyone change themselves out of hate successfully. It doesn't work. It's kind of like buying a car and burning it down first before you test drive it. That's essentially what most people are trying to do. And as Carl has said, and I use this quote all the time, the weight that most people have to lose is not physical. It is a lot of it is to do with mental. We talk about body acceptance and we talk about body image, and we'll have Kayleen in to talk about that. But body acceptance isn't accepting your body and loving your body every single day. It's accepting what your body can do. And I think a lot of people need to accept that your body's capable of a lot more than you actually think. So I know of one of my clients, she said something on her one of my one-to-one clients this morning. When she first started, she couldn't get up the stairs. And now she's, how did she say, she called herself? She called herself an asthmatic donkey. Well, look, trying to get up the stairs, which wasn't helpful. But the language that she uses now is, I never thought possible that I'm going to be training for a 5K. So from someone, and once again, that goal isn't orientated to her weight. It's not changing her body out of hate. It's setting yourself up for a challenge and getting that confidence over time and building that confidence up over time and saying, I can do this. She has friends that are joining in that are keeping her accountable. Her partner's keeping her accountable. And it's really, really important to kind of have those little wins that you have. Those wins are the ones that keep you going. The scales will go down, but it will also go up. But I think a lot of people can forget that sometimes. That scales is only a temporary release. It's only a temporary validation. It's only a temporary dopamine hit for yourself. If you look at any of those answers that you've kind of just maybe talked about, how many of those can you say that the answer was no? A lot of them would be no, that the approach wasn't sustainable, that you couldn't stick to a longer week, that it would impact your relationship with food. It did involve changing your body out of hate. But how do we actually change this? We have to change our definition. So this is a definition that I made up. I might be typos and I will blame my concussion for it. I will see if this actually makes any sense. So successful fat loss is an approach that allows you to live your life. It's one that adds to your life and one that is not done out of hate, but out of improvement, awareness, and no judgment. The big thing that an awful lot of people can struggle with is judgment. We judge ourselves against what we think is perfect, which is often unattainable. We think we have to be perfect every single day. Not humanly possible. And we can forget that we're